Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Because I don't want to take too much time, you know. I want us to finish our service as early as we can. I will start from verse 12. The book, the chapter starts with the story of the battle between Israel and the Philistines. Israel and the Philistines, and how the Philistines had released a representative in the person of Goliath, and Goliath terrorized the children of Israel. Nobody dare confront Goliath. Goliath actually gave a challenge that instead of a dirty warfare, let's just have one representative each. And Goliath, you know, was meant to represent the Philistine, and Israel were meant to send their own representative. And friends, nobody dare volunteer his or herself. Even Saul could not face Goliath. Because some battles are for the emerging generation. The battle might meet the current generation, but it's actually not for the current generation. So sometimes when you see what appears to be the losses of some fathers, you think they lost a battle, but it was actually not their battle. Sometimes you can be caught criticizing fathers on the warfare that you lost. So that battle was not for Saul and his army to win. That battle was meant to be introduction of David into the scene. Am I preaching here? So sometimes the criticism we release over the church sometimes about what our fathers are not doing right, you don't know that it's actually your battle. And you are criticizing Daddy Gio, who has won all his own battles. But because he's still alive, we think it's his battle. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
So there's a lot of battles that we have ascribed the fighters to the wrong generation. For some strange reasons, as great as Saul was, he didn't have the guts to take out Goliath. Sometimes lack of guts is sign that the battle is not your own. Are we together here?
Yes,
sometimes guts without uniform is actually a sign that you're about to be introduced. David had guts but did not have the uniform of Saul's warriors. Are you together with me?
Yes,
and sometimes you see some problems that you don't have the office to solve, but you have the passion to solve. And you think because you don't have the office, it's not for you to solve. What if a new office is about to be released and you're meant to occupy the new one? Are we together here? And so for some reason, did not even confront Goliath. And the thing went for days. And then they were just wailing. And nobody could confront Goliath. Even Saul had to announce that anyone that can confront Goliath, I will give him half of my kingdom and even my daughter. That's how serious the issue was. But anytime there is a generation that has been perplexed, there's always going to be another generation called the now generation So from verse 1 to verse 11 was a lot of crisis. But in verse 12, there is a now David. Somebody say, now David.
Now David.
The word now in this context describes a detachment from what is on ground. A detachment, and not just a detachment from what is on ground, an introduction of a new phenomenon. Am I preaching here? Somehow in my spirit, I have a perception that I am speaking to new phenomenons. They are the noun to the crisis left unsolved. Oh my goodness. I don't know. Should I go to another church? Thank God the branches are growing. With one brand, does not listen to me. I'll post myself to another one. Are we here, friends?
Yes, sir.
You know, there's this musical prophet many years ago who released a powerful prophetic word. He said, "We are the people to make you happy. We are H-A-P-P-Y. B-U-P-L-E. See, there is a now people. A different people. They carry a different spirit. And they are going to simply solve a problem that appeared difficult to a previous generation. See, that's in this situation is a strange one. Saul had been doing fine. He had very serious, he had dealt with very serious issues. So it's not like he's a weakling from day one. But because a new season has come in and a new people must be released. That's why this one looks strange. It's not like it's that strange. It's strange for their generation. But it's not strange for David's generation. I don't know if you're listening to me. So one of the people that criticized the previous generation, we have no business criticizing.
Yes, sir.
What was difficult for them will be where we are starting from.
Yes.
You see, Goliath was the highest warfare that Saul encountered. But that was the easiest one for David. Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
What I'm saying to you is God's plan for you. And this is God's strategy. If you don't know how to believe God's word, God also have another plan for you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Saul's greatest warfare was David's cheapest warfare. Yeah. Now David was the son of that Ephrath of Bethlehem Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years, in the days of Saul. And 3 older sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest and the oldest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David. The 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul. Can I preach now?
Yes, sir.
The 3 oldest, they followed Saul. But David. Why? Because somehow he just knew that he was caught from another reality. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
But David. Everybody is going this way. It's the right way. It's the popular way. But David. You see, anytime God is releasing a new generation, that generation will not have the desire to cut covenant with the past one. No. They will honor it, but They won't swear allegiance to it. Are we preaching here?
Yes,
sir. Say, but David. But David. The three oldest ones, they followed Saul. But David. But David. Because he was ordained to do something new and something different. And that's how the anointing works. When God puts a new anointing upon you, the anointing begins to choose for you what and who you can follow. I don't know if you're listening to me. You don't just follow a thing because it's popular. You follow a thing because it resonates. Popularity is no longer what makes you follow anything. It's because what? It resonates. David was not going to follow Saul because it didn't resonate, even though it was what appeared to be working. Am I preaching here?
Yes,
it was the popular flow, but it didn't what? Resonate. And sometimes a lot of us dishonor our anointing to honor those who were previously anointed. And that's why we do not participate and partake of the largesse of the new day. Are we preaching here?
Yes,
sir. He says, but David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Occasionally returned. It looked more promising to follow Saul. Because when you follow Saul, you look like a warrior. Am I preaching here? When you follow Saul, you look like the people happening.
Yeah.
But David honored what he carried inside him. And he says, if I will carry this thing to be feeding sheep, it's okay. Am I preaching here?
Yes,
I don't want to look like I'm doing the thing, but I'm doing nothing.
Yeah.
But David, he occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why sometimes the anointing will lead you to do things that don't necessarily look like the biggest of things. The anointed can do simple things. The anointed can wash the toilet. And it's more relevant in the scheme of things than the one that is appearing on TBN. I wish the people I'm talking to are in this room. I'm telling you. When you are anointed, when you carry that anointing, you don't need much. When you carry that anointing, you don't need the patronage of anyone. You don't need to be patronized. You don't need people to hail you or psych you or scope you or to look like you are great. Are you together with me?
Yes,
why? Because the greatness is loud inside. It's so loud inside that you prefer to do what is real than what appears real. The three oldest brothers followed Saul, but had no capacity to take out Goliath. Because what they were operating was the old. And the warfare currently is a new type of warfare. So they were following Saul, but can't take out Goliath. And somebody is feeding sheep, but can take out Goliath. You don't have to follow Saul to be able to take out Goliath. You just have to carry the real thing. And those who carry the real thing don't need to look like they carry. You take me for granted, it will be at your own peril. I don't know if, are we here? When that anointing is upon you, you don't choose your task. Any task that is given you will be glorious. You don't need a powerful task to appear powerful. You make the littlest task, you will do it powerfully. Are you together with me? that the GOAN or Oyedepo, they are not the governor or the president of any state or nation. But when you go to their space, we wish Nigeria was like that. Are you together with me? There's light in the redemption camp, but there's no light in the whole nation. There's light in the redemption camp. There's no light in the whole nation. They don't use our light. They use their own turbine and all of that. They have light. We, the whole nation, don't have light. And they are inside the nation. Because when you are anointed, you can feed your father's sheep at Bethlehem. You don't have to be on the field. Because the people on the field are useless. And until you come, they will do nothing. Useless warriors. But anointed shepherd. Ah, come on here. And the day of battle, a shepherd was more useful than a warrior. That's why I encourage wives, don't fight your husband. Grow spiritually. You have no business fighting your husband. What should you do?
Grow
spiritually. After a while, he will come for mentorship. Don't fight your husband. Leave him. Grow spiritually. Increase your personal video times. Do your video times. Do your Bible study. By the time demons come and come, because they will come, then he will come and meet you. He'll say, "Mommy." He'll say, "Hey." We have to fight. You know, I'm your wife. I'm your wife. I deserve this. What's why you say to yourself? The boy does not know anything. He does not know anything. By the time you grow spiritually, and the boy will find out that he will see that you are not his mate. Eh? You know, some people, you are not their mate, but they don't yet know. You just keep growing. It will appear to them that they are not what? They are not, this girl is not my mate. And one day he will come and kneel down and say, "Please, can you lay hands on me?" You think it's not possible? You see, no matter how arrogant a man is, there's a type of sickness that hits him. That he doesn't care about the gender of the doctor. Oh, yeah, as he say, you don't want a woman to give you injection. If the kind of malaria that, there was one malaria that did me many years ago when I was a baby. They call it acute fever. What do they call it? That malaria that used to affect brain. Yeah, there's malaria that affects brain. You will not experience it too.
Yeah.
I woke up in the midnight like this, and I was fighting the air. I said, "If you come near me, I'll bust you." They rushed me to the hospital. When that kind of malaria hits you, you won't say which girl is opening my shokoto. You remove your whole shokoto as if this. It's called cerebral. It's a bad malaria. Did you go somewhere or you are here?
Yes, sir.
The others were with Saul. They were with Saul. Empty heads. They were with Saul. They had nothing. David came home to feed his father's sheep. And you know how many people will be fighting to be in this army? An army that is about to be discarded. Me, I'm preaching.
Yes, sir.
And me, I'm prophesying.
Yes, sir.
If your spirit hears the open, you will know me, I'm prophesying.
Yes,
and I'm telling you about the days ahead that are already here. A lot of you are still trying to enter a place that is about to be cancelled. The three sons, the oldest ones,
They followed Saul. David says, I will go home and take care of my father's sheep. To take care of sheep is more valuable than to be in this dead army. Do you know many people still fighting for Deacon? Deacon. They want to be Deacon. In churches where God has no plan for. Yeah, they want to be Deacon. They are still struggling to be Deacon. There are people that are about to send offering to a pastor now so that that offering can touch his heart. So that he can make them what? Deacon or head of men's fellowship. Or they want to be the head of builder committee. Yeah. Fighting over nonsense. Is it not better to be serving your wife at home with anointing than struggling over nonsense? Me, I will not struggle over nonsense. So. Over nonsense. David said, oh yeah, go and follow Saul. Ask me why David allowed them to follow Saul. Because those three guys don't inspire David. They are old, but they don't bring inspiration to David. Right from time, David don't like being around them. To the point that they themselves have abandoned David. Because the previous chapter was when, the previous chapters we saw when Samuel went to anoint them. And those guys have formed a formidable carcass with their father. That when they said, bring all your sons, they did not remember to bring David. That's the level of cacao. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You see, there are people who have remembered you, but you see, they are not even worthy of your memory. And so they are forgetting you. It's not an attack, it's a deliverance. I don't know if you are ready. There are people who are forgetting you, that they're forgetting you is the goodness of God over your life. Because if they remember you, they will remember you into nonsense. You are crying over worthless things. I said they are forgetting. If they remember you, they are not remembering you. Everything they are doing is nonsense. It is God that pushed you out of their memory. And these guys looked really like it too. They get the charisma. By the time they showed up, even Samuel, who be the greatest, by the time Eliab show up, he say, "Okuri omo ogun, okuri meta." This guy is surely the anointed. And God said, it's not just that he's not the anointed. It's that I wanted to anoint him. And I decided not to because I don't like him. That's what God said. He said, I rejected him. It's not like sovereignty didn't choose him. Wow. I rejected him. In Oburukuni, I rejected him. Yeah. Go, let's start from the beginning. You know, I picked the mic early so that we can finish early but also finish well. I wanted to wear jacket, but the way the thing was doing me, the jacket, I would break all the buttons. Now the Lord, now. You are blessed. Go, let's start from the beginning. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? So the three oldest boys were chasing after someone. In the flesh, you will see Saul, you think Otireyunto. Whereas God was done with Saul. Samuel, who is a spiritual man, knows God is done with Saul. As Samuel said, go. It's morning. Samuel is mourning. The three oldest boys are lobbying. Some people are lobbying to get things that heaven is mourning over. How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided myself a king among the sons. Aradima Yakuma. So, how you will know who is the real king is to find out who they are following. So, three of those sons were following who God has rejected. Can you see the thing that made God rejected Saul must be in them? For them to want to follow who God has rejected. Don't you think I'm preaching a good message? I've rejected Saul, but this guy still wants Saul. Because Saul has the external thing. Don't pursue the external thing. Don't. Get substance inside. Get the anointing. Pursue things because it's popular. Because have life inside. And let the inward life determine where you go outwardly. Don't choose with physical eyes. Choose with inward witness. Some women marry somebody who is having his last moment of reigning, and leave the person who God plans to give the kingdom to. Yeah. Why? Because they chose externally. Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I wanted to marry, I didn't want to marry my wife. I'm telling you the truth. I said, Kai, I want a spiritual girl. Yeah. I said, I want a spiritual girl that, you know, was trained to be a pastor's wife. Somebody who got cloned. And what they put on the person is pastor's wife. My wife did not look like it then. Her hair was a mogeto hair. You know mogeto, that hair. Imagine somebody doing that hair about 15 years ago. Till now, the hair is still a bad hair. Talk less of then. One of the first pictures of her I saw, she was on a... They use a picture for advert for party. This girl that is here now. Yeah. Her eyes is cat eyes. She used to put cat eyes. She still bought it recently. By the time you see her, you feel like doing deliverance. You just see the eye. The first time she came to visit me, all my boys in the school were all, they guard themselves around my room, open the window, everything, that nothing is going to happen to Pastor today. The pastor is not today. I tell you, all the guys were, they were watching. They would just suddenly enter and go out. They would send another one inside. Say, nothing today, not today. And that was the one the Lord says, that's your wife. I already had plans. There was one that knows how to do. There was another lady I wanted to marry. That one was just very perfect. If I tell that one, stay like this, that one will stay. If I say, do like this, that one will do like that. I say, Kai. I say, Kai. Sometimes I can just say, go. I don't want the person to go. I just want to test it. Go like this. The person has gone. I say, what? I said, God, is this one? I prayed. I said, God, is this one? God said, no. But just yesterday, ordinary wedding. It looked like crusades. Ordinary wedding, it looks like crusade. If you were here yesterday's wedding, the whole place looked like crusade. And she planned to even make it. She planned. I'm sure she planned that. This reputation people used to give me, I'm going to be a fine, I will preach a calm, and people will be happy. We ended the message, wedding. Before I allow her to preach again, this church. You know, I'm not lying, I preach. Nobody will spoil my church for me. That's it. Another 4 months, I'll put her. Say, we have been too happy. We are just good there. You see. But that is external.
Yes.
This is what God was. This is who God wanted me to be with, because God sees. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? I'm not saying the other person is a bad person. The other person is not a bad person. Fill your horn with oil. And it's important not to bring people down for whatever reason. And go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided for myself a king among his sons. I've rejected Saul. But I provided a king among those sons. Three of those sons now follow Saul. You know, God rejected Saul because of his bad behavior. It's not like God did not ordain Saul. That was not the issue. Samuel said God would have established his kingdom. And what happened that day? God gave him an instruction. He disobeyed the instruction. And then he did not want Samuel to disgrace him. He saw it as disgrace. And he said, Samuel should just stay with him and just let. It's always about reputation. Reputation. And a lot of you are like that, about reputation. What is looking glamorous? You go and join yourself to that. No, join yourself with what you have conviction for. You see, conviction preserves your future. Conviction is the basis of accurate decision. Are you convicted, convinced in your heart? We're just laying the foundation.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's read. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. The Lord said, take a ephah with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. God used to do that a lot. Coded. God anoints, God does coded work. God does coded work. So you need conviction to join yourself with that which has not yet appeared.
Yeah.
Friends, the people who bless me the most now, I'm talking of resources, bless me the most in a few years ago were not the people. You won't choose them. I'm not lying to you. You won't choose them. I'm telling you the truth. And that's why I like to pick my people from where people are not picking from. Yeah. Fourth set. Even we found out in football on our feed. We thought set one, set two are the strongest team. After we have picked everybody, we have picked, Emmanuel and Relas have picked themselves. Yeah. They have picked themselves. They think it's us. It never works. They say all star. Then there's one fourth team. That's where you see Mubi, Lewandowski. Is it Lewan like this? If you want to mark Lewan, you don't have to get close. Just blow breeze. It will fall down. Lewan, those girls. Oh my goodness. And we beat them. We beat them. Yeah. I wish I can hear somebody say conviction.
Conviction.
Can you say it stronger?
Conviction.
Say conviction like conviction.
Conviction.
Don't say you didn't know. Be convicted. Conviction is accurate knowledge. Conviction is where the real tomorrow will happen. Tomorrow is not what you are seeing now. Tomorrow is in conviction. There is preservation in conviction. Are we preaching here? So you say, let's go and do what? Sacrifice. Everybody does sacrifice. The other day I was saying that if I knew that, if God told me how this work is going to be, I wouldn't have started. You know, they were God deceived me small. The first way he deceived me was I just be hosting programs. That was the first deception. So I'll be doing programs here and there. Just do a program. I organized one program in Tantalizers. I say unlocking the times. We did the program, I did another program. Before I know vision, just gather a people. I want to appear to them. Okay, let's gather. The Lord wants to appear to us. Glory Summit, Mondays, early suit. Ah, can you man serious? This one I want to marry. They say we'll do counseling. Ah. Show a ladder in. Eradicating the new people. It didn't start like that. Are we together here? And the deception is still going on. They are still deceiving us. I tell you the truth. There are things they've shown me recent times. I can't say it out. If I say it out, people can kidnap me. Yeah, they will leave Port Harcourt. They will come and kidnap me here. Yeah. There are things we can't see. That some we say half, we don't say the rest. And when God is doing it, people say, some young people are just gathering, some young people. Young people. Young people say, wow, we're very young. In fact, we have young Xing. young Xing. What's God's plan? He hides it. Yeah. And you know, he doesn't hide it from us. Is hiding it for us. But the quality of your heart can help you detect it. If your heart is pure, you will see God. Yeah. Blessed are those whose heart is pure. They will be able to see God. When there is purity in your heart, you will see God. You see, a lot of you live your future and join yourself with your past. Saul is past. The three went to join themselves with Saul. Whereas David is future. And in their brain, they are making a very strategic decision. Because Saul appeared to be walking. But God said, I've rejected Saul. Don't cry over it. You don't understand? Rejection beyond correction. He says, stop mourning. It's not that this mourn will make money. This rejection is not reversible. Put all in your own. That's one of you, God told me. I was praying one day. Was I praying? I was not praying. God just told me. He says, you are going to put oil on this person's head. He said, when you put the oil on this person's head, he said, the oil will lift him up. Yeah. He said, the oil, he said, it will lift him up. If Samuel hears, if Saul hears, he will kill me.
But the Lord said, take an ephah with you. You know, one popular preacher came to meet me. One popular musician. He said, please, I want to beg you. He said, I know you can see us shining everywhere. He said, you see us. He said, but please tell your choir not to follow us. He said, let them not sing how we are singing. Let them not sing what we are singing. He said, let them remain that way. He said, because they are going to eventually provide for the body of Christ what all of us will later sing. He said, may they not follow us. May they not join us. Leave them. We will popular. I know say we popular, but leave them like that. Let me beg them. He said, what do you they do? May they continue, because now waiting all of us goes, they can't do with that. Take an effort with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. And so sometimes when you think God has forsaken and forgotten you, and that all he's doing is not coronation, it's sacrifice. You don't know it's coded sacrifice, coded coronation. Wow. A lot of you are experiencing coded coronation, you don't know. Is it?
Yes, sir.
What are you experiencing?
Coded
coronation. Why? Because there is a time frame to it. If they announce you before the time, your life will be... You see, there is a battle that goes with the throne. And God must prepare you for the battle. You see, he's preparing you for the throne, but he's also preparing you for the battle. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Let's read. You have to be fast. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice. I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled that is coming. That's an woli, woli, punta giri woli. Do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Why? Because he had seen the person the Lord previously anointed. And that is Saul. And don't forget that the CV of Saul was his physique. So he used his physical eyes to say, whatever God was doing before, God wants to continue. And sometimes God is moving another direction. What a story. What a story. I kind of have a feeling I'm talking about your story.
Yes, sir.
He says, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Right? But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at the appearance or at his physical stature, because I refused him. I've rejected him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, but he sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So God had scrutinized Eliab's heart. It's empty. We can't pour oil on this heart. And Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And the Lord said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made Shammah. This word is exact three people who follow Saul in the next chapter. So you can see their heart and they love Saul. Some people love man-of-Godism. They don't love the Lord. They just love the idea of man of God. They are imagining it. That I will have like eight glints. Glints will be here, glints here, everybody. I'll be in the middle.
Any small thing like this, say, Muna move. Shango is coming, Muna move. That's all some people have in their head. And that's what God is not doing again. May you not invest in a company that's already filed bankruptcy. You carry your life investment inside a company that the owners of the company themselves are already exiting. And you put your life savings and say, "Oh Lord, I trust you." See, let me tell you something. Stand up. You. Yes. Come. See, all those beautiful things that you are looking at, it will not last long. All those beautiful things that you are seeing is not going to last long. But what God is revealing to you in the word will last long. Now, the plan for God is when those people are done, may you have grown into what God wants you to grow to. Because they are coming back to you for training. You know, may you not be attracted to the things you are meant to mentor. That's why you should have perfected the art of being happy with few things. For the fact that God is burning inside me, I'm satisfied. Yes. Is this the right church? Yes. Your eyes is not for play, my drummer. Because God will raise you a giant. Yes. He says, neither has the Lord chosen this one, Abinadab. What's the first one? Eliab, Abinadab, Shammah. What will you follow? But they are good for photo shoots. What will you follow? But photo shoot, flyer, they will do well. Or will for long. Bow ni o human be my wako will for long. O de rubo won fine. See, you must not get your identity from the mirror. If your highest image of yourself is from the mirror, you are dead meat. See, we don't rear chicken because we're happy for the chicken. We rear chicken so that it can be big enough to satisfy our hunger. Some of you, Satan is rearing you. You think you are growing. You think you are growing, but Satan is rearing you for the day of consumption. Yeah. You think you are growing. Wow. That wow that you are doing, it's not only you that is doing it. Even Satan looks at you and says, "Car, wow." You see people following Jesus, you say they are boring. Even if you are true, to be boring is better than to burn. But you are not true. You don't know what boring is. Why you call it boring is that what we are enjoying, your eye cannot see. So you are seeing nothing. That's why you are bored about it. You think our life is boring. It's because you cannot see what we are enjoying. You are cut off from it. So Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen this. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? So the major ones Jesse was sure was the three. So after they did not choose the three, they now allowed the remaining four. But you see, according to Jesse, there are two batches. There's batch A. Now, batch A was his main batch. That's Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. Then worse come to worse, the remaining four. David was not even in any batch at all. Now, if he thought set or fifth set. So can you see that the choices of men is the importance that a man chooses you is an exaggerated thing. No, it's okay if nobody chooses you. We overhype men choosing us. And we overhype men liking us. Are we together here? If no man like you, it's okay. You don't have to like me. But you see, if you don't like me, it's okay. But the people I casted out demons from them, the people I got saved, the people I filled with the Holy Spirit, the people I helped their homes, they like me. Yeah. And if you tell them not to like me, they can't. You know, they wanted to tell that guy Jesus healed. they didn't want this guy to like Jesus. He said, I'll be blind. Una leave me blind. You don't have my life. Someone now came, healed me. You know, I said, it's not from God. It's not the prophet. Now I know who be prophets. One preacher went to tell one, he told one of my sons a few years ago. He said, which church do you go to? He said, Pastor Zach. He said, Pastor Zach, quitting your New Testament. But with this Old Testament, wonders are happening this way. The person they told this is now one of my pastors doing wonders, pastoring a branch. And the branch is growing fantastically well. Yeah. Now, I don't need anybody to say I'm in New Testament. The people who have met me will tell you the testament they encountered. You don't need people. I tell you, God did not commit this oil in any committee. No committee. No committee. When you know all of this, you need to work hard not to be arrogant. I'm working hard not to be arrogant. Because I found out that there is no committee. God, he did not go and ask anybody a question if he can anoint one of his children. Even Samuel, who is his greatest prophet, was not inquired. They didn't inquire from him, should I anoint David or not? Even him did not know the plan. He was like, oh yeah, put oil. I will show you. He said, I will tell you the name. You don't come and advise me. Samuel did not carry three names to God and say, God, out of these three, I've done screening. You know, the way we used to do screening in university for the next school. I will now do as if we are the 24 elders. I say, it cannot be a school. Can't the way they treated me that. God does not have committee that used to advise him. There's nobody advising God. I listened to a story of one of the biggest preachers in this nation. So this is a direct story, a confirmed story. One of his major sons did what was not good. So this preacher suspended that his son. It was a serious issue. It was a big issue. So after a while, he restored the son.
And then the son kept on doing what he's doing. So the people the son offended now went to meet the man of God and said, you have installed this person. Why do you install this person? So he asked them, he asked them that did we suspend him together? I said, I'm the one that is my decision to suspend him. So if I restore, it's my decision. I said, if there's anything wrong in it, the person that installed me, me and the person will have issue. He has no business with you. So God does not, I use that to talk about how God does not, no committee. We're not coming again and say, all right, I want to, who should we? I said, no committee. And someone said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep. Someone said, Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes. Don't you want that kind of life that you are not at the mercy of men? I don't have to be there. If you plan that, I won't be in the meeting. But the hand of God will make sure that none of you will sit until I come. Yes. Your sitting is dependent on my coming. Yes. So if they had called David early, that meeting would have ended early. People would have rested. But the meeting was elongated, and it now became a tough meeting that nobody will sit down until David comes. Why? Because David had collected something from the Lord. You know, the other day I was preaching about getting the real thing.
Yes.
Get the real thing. We will not sit till he comes here. Alright? So he sent and brought him in. Now, he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise. Anoint him. For this is the one. This is the one. All right. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now, don't forget that the others were rejected and refused. And the reason for that was because God looked at their heart and saw that their heart did not qualify for the oil. So the oil is heart sensitive. So it must mean that David's heart was scrutinized, and his heart, it behaved, it had the character for the oil. So the oil has a character, and only God knows who has that character and who does not have it. Am I preaching here? And so David got the oil because his heart was right. And then by the time we got to chapter 17, we now understood that the heart of the three sons is the same heart with Saul. And that was why even David was not so attracted to Saul, that he preferred to go home and feed sheep, because that's what his heart felt like doing. Can I preach here? So his heart, as much as he was rejected by his father, he was so much in love with his father's business. And he made sure his father's sheep was taken care of. And those were some of the things, are you together with me? Those were some of the things God was looking at, because sometimes you don't even know what God is looking at. Sometimes you think God is looking at how powerful you can preach for him to anoint you. And that's not what the Lord is looking at. And a lot of us despise what God is looking at because our eyes are on big things. Sometimes God is just looking at how you forgive. Sometimes God is looking at how you take care of your wife. And you're asking God, God, make me a conglomerate, a business conglomerate, give me an empire, and you think it's by going to Oxford to do this. And God is saying, I can't give this one. If I give this one this, his wife is in trouble. You don't even know what God is looking at. You think God is looking at the big things. No, he's not. He's looking at your heart. It's looking at the passions and the movement and the motions of your heart. It's looking at your inclination. It's looking at the things that you like. It's checking those you respect, those you honor, those you dishonor. How you choose who you will honor. Who you. It's looking at those little things. The things the Holy Ghost is questioning you about and bringing to you. That is what the Lord is looking at that will attract that oil. Those are the things. And then you are looking at the big things. And the three elders followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul. You see, to David it was not a big deal. But guess what? After just a little while, it was Saul that was now needing David.
Yes.
It was Saul. The others were following Saul. Now, after a while, Saul could not get himself except David placed for him. That what others tried to lobby to get, David got it and it was still not a big deal. Oh, you are not getting the point. Friends, you are going to come into things everybody is fighting for. And when you get it, it will still not be a big deal. What people are killing for, you will get it. It will not be a big deal. Because you already have the big deal. Allow them lobby, allow them say nonsense, allow them spite. Are we together, friends? The glory of God is I feel the anointing of God all over me. I'm returned from Saul to feet. Oh my goodness. There are some people who you have to give your life to Jesus today. You're in this church. You need to give your life to Jesus. Jesus wants you to live for him. And make sure you do that before you leave here and run to God's house. All the days of your life, that's what you were made for, ordained for. Alright, let's read the next verse. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days. I want it 21 days. What's the name of the program? Morning and evening. Terrorizing them. We'll do worship in the morning, word in the evening. And Israel was shaking. Give me my scripture, friend. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp. Are you with me?
Yes,
there's just something about David. He can do the menial jobs. He can do that's always something about the anointed. The anointed don't find any job demeaning. They don't feel easily disrespected. They have a good heart. They have a good heart. When you have a good heart, you don't easily feel disrespected. Yeah. You do anything that you are asked to do to make anything move forward. Then Jesus said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the field and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper and ran to the army. Dangerous guy. David is dangerous. He knows how to carry supplies. And he also knows how to war. He's not carrying supply because he's sissy. He can carry supply and then can war. Most times people who think that they are warriors despise carrying supplies. And they don't know that it's those who can carry supplies that God anoints. His heart can carry supply,
But the oil loves war. It's an army by oil. It's a good guy by walking of the spirit. You're not getting the point. His heart was right. So the man was a good person. That's why any man of God who is not a lovely husband is fake. If it's only a great man of God on the pulpit, it's fake. His anointing is not genuine. So when you want to know the real value of a man, ask his wife and children, not his church members. You see, because you won't use the anointing in your home. You will use your anointing in the field. But you use your heart in your home. That's why your home is a perfect description of your person. Not your job. You don't use your heart for your job. You use your skill. And sometimes your corniness. That's what you are using at job. So don't say that they hate me for work. Forget the way they hate you for work. You'll be bad person. Eh? I will tell you, no, your wife tell us, you'll be waiting. Bad person. And your children, whenever you they come, your children, they cry. And whenever you come out, your children will shout, yeah, daddy has come. Thank you, Lord. Eh? There are bad people here, right? One or two. Yeah. So, are you with me?
Yes,
can I preach here?
Yes,
so it got to the field and dropped supply. But when it got to the field, somehow that anointing, oh my goodness, whenever he sees war, whenever the man sees war, the oil, are you together with me? Oh my goodness, whenever he sees war, are you together with me? That's why sometimes people call you pastor. It's not that you are pastor, but whenever you see souls, you just, are you together? Whenever you see somebody derailing, you just want to say, I'm not pastor. I'm keyboardist. I'm bassist, but I'm this and that. He had supply, but at the same time, he wanted battle ready without uniform, but battle. Oh my goodness. My goodness. Some people don't need church, but anywhere they are, church will start. You don't need to make them. Church will start. That's how the disciples were. They would have gone somewhere, caused trouble. They would have to send for John or Paul to come and establish it. I did not realize now. We just go to a place. And we, oh my goodness. The oil doesn't need a form for it to work. Anywhere it goes, it works. It just works. You are a teacher, but somehow it's already turning to church. Somehow you didn't plan it to turn to church, but as you teach them, your passion for them also rises. And you just say, how are you doing? And in that little conversation, another disciple, and they are coming around you. Your church has not made you a pastor. You are just a sanitation unit, but pastoring is going on. Because you carry the oil. You carry the oil. You are a CEO, but somehow your employees, you just want to give them more than salary. Somehow you are just concerned about his family. Even your driver is having serious impact from you. He's ordinary driver. He's driving you. But somehow a word of knowledge hits you and say, what happened between you and your wife yesterday? And somehow another disciple has been born. Even though you are CEO, but you are anointed. So David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gad, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. Are you sure you have not jumped? What verse did you read? Give me verse 22. Let me see verse 22. 23. Then as he talked with them. Alright, 24. And all the men of Israel whom they saw the men, when they saw the men, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So
So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who comes up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. Will give him, oh my goodness, will give him his daughter. There is fire in this house. Will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. You know, there are some things that you know how to do best. And imagine if they put all the greatest reward on what is simple for you. What is simple for you? They just say, if you can throw bottle and the bottle will stand. You know, this is what I mean. Sometimes that simple thing that God is perfecting with you, you think is worthless. It's not worthless. It's going to be the price for your tomorrow. Oh my goodness. You know what is going to happen? You know what is happening to you? Your anointing and your purpose is becoming the loudest voice in your soul right now. I'm awakening it. That's what is going on. Something is happening in this place. Oradika. You're no longer going to live a timid life. Not you. Not under my watch. Not under this anointing. Not under this anointing that God has given to us to drink from and to feed from. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. Oh my goodness. I see people coming into great prosperity cheaply. Oh my goodness. I said you are coming into great influence, but it will be cheaply. What people kill for, you are getting it cheaply. It's going to be cheaply. Don't cry, oh, don't cry, oh, don't mourn, oh, don't mourn again, oh, don't mourn again, oh, because the anointing of God upon your life. It's taking you to a place of glory. Don't mourn again. What you lost was not needed. If it, you lost it because it was not needed. What is needed is upon you. What is needed is inside you. Take your seat. Let me release the whole counsel of God for today. I want us to finish. A few more minutes. 5 minutes. Finish. So, this was what was on ground. This is more than what everybody wants. People don't even dream these kind of dreams. But it was free that day. And all the trainings that God was giving David didn't look like military trainings. But those trainings is enough for this greatness. The trainings the Lord was giving him is enough. So the trainings God is giving you is enough for your greatness. Enough. You think greatness is some complicated big deal that you add calculus and many things to it. No, the trainings of God will be enough. And it will be so peculiar, only you will have it. Let's read. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He says, What shall be done? I know you. You know, it's like, what's the sense? What shall be done? Because from God's training for David, he already understands the difference between circumcision and non-circumcision and the consequences. So the battle was not giant and ungiant. The battle they were fighting was giant versus normal humans. David said, that's not the battle. The real battle is circumcision versus uncircumcision, which makes whether you are a giant or not irrelevant. So they were interpreting the warfare wrongly. And that's why they could not engage the warfare. So what the wisdom of God does for you and the trainings of God is that it gives you accurate interpretation. You see, because sometimes a boy does not know the meaning of 5 plus 4 until you say 5 chocolates and I give you 2 more chocolates. How many chocolates do you have? You will shout 7 chocolates, but tell him 5y plus 2y. Say, but if you have 5 agbalumo and I add 5 more agbalumo, how many agbalumo? He said, where's my 7 agbalumo? The boy can add agbalumo plus agbalumo. Because Agbalumo is his, Azeda is blood. David, circumcision and uncircumcision, he understands it. I can't kill giant, but I can kill uncircumcised. When we started this house, what the Lord told me? The Lord says, all the resources you need is inside the house. So I didn't need to stress myself to looking for ministry sponsors. I didn't care. The idea of ministry is expensive has been deleted from my head. Because when God had already told you that all the funds are in the place, then I became okay. That's all. The wisdom of God, the trainings of God will just give you an accurate perspective. And then you enter the issue in a different light. And you'll get the desirable outcome. So I might not be able to kill giant, but uncircumcised will always die, man. Let me see. Are you uncircumcised? You are gone. All right, let's read. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now, Eliab's oldest brother heard when he spoke to the men. Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And said, why do you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep? Because in their head, what they are doing is more valuable
than what David has been doing. You see, some people think you are doing nothing. Don't convince them. Don't change their mind. Say, ah, church. Ah, what has it said? Jealousy wedding, Jerry. Because they think it's not, they think no big deal. Say, what have you come here to do? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? The world takes for granted the most important things. The most important things. And they didn't know that all the while who God was looking for is who will take care of the few sheep. Those few sheep is God's, is, that's the examination, that's the qualification. You have failed all your life and you are arrogant about it. Those few sheep. May you locate the few sheep God has ordained. Oh my goodness. Sometimes that few sheep, eh? It's your wife. Can I tell you, it's not sometimes. It's all the time. It's all the time. It's all the time. People don't understand. You see, when I'm talking marriage every time, people just think I feel like talking. You don't understand what. You think I'm just, marriage is just, no. I know how pivotal it is to everything you will do. Something that God said on this premise, I have a decision not to hear you. Peter told us that we should, there's a way we must treat our wives so that our prayers will not be in. What is that thing? Even sin does not make your prayers not to be hindered. Even sin. Even sin. God answers you many all the time. Even after you have committed the sin, God will still answer you. But God said there's something that will hinder me and you. Oh my doubt. Is it why God says something will cause trouble between both of you? Are you not meant to take that thing seriously? You are taking other things seriously. You are trying to finish a proposal that you want to pray on so that you can get a job. Now the prayer you want to put on that proposal is already, it's not, it's a we here. Because you are not treating one girl right. Two things you must do. You must treat your wife right, and you must train her to make sure she's receiving right treatment. Okay? I have to treat you right. Oh. Put your head well, you can be treated right. Sometime last week, I scolded my wife. She said, "You can't you just talk out of love?" I said, "This is love." You are shouting. I'm just expressing myself. He just say it in a nicer way. I said, there's no nicer way. This is the only available way. Yeah, the only available way. Because it was a scriptural matter. I said, it's weighty. I have to make it weighty. And after I see everything, I said, I did not reduce my tone. She went, she came back and said, I get what you're saying, but can you say it in a nicer way? I said, there is all the options is this way, A, this way. B, this way, C, all of the above. Because it's not about me. It's about my wife. It's about my family. Why does my wife follow me and listen to me? Because she's sure that I'm not doing anything for myself. Nothing. That's the goodness I've encountered from God. You don't understand. God has killed me to self. If this girl is happy, finish. Just make her happy. And sometimes to be happy is to say the truth of the word in the way it should be said. So it's not like I just like talking about my. I know how pivotal it is. It is one of the ways to flow in favor. You want to flow in favor, make your wife happy. Pastor, but how will I make my wife happy? By asking her how she will be happy. You can't say you are making her happy, and the person you are saying you are making happy says, I'm not happy. And you are saying, why are you not happy? I'll do everything. Shut up. Is there anybody who is happy that says they're not happy? You, have you ever been happy? And you are saying, I'm not happy. And you are hiding the happiness. I'm not happy. I'm not happy. Whenever you're happy, don't you express your happiness? Yes, so how do you know if your wife is not happy? By what she says. Then you will now calm down. You will really calm down. The calming, you will calm down as though you want to enter the grave. You will calm down. Because it takes a lot of calm down to know what a woman wants. You can't know what a woman wants in a hurry. You have to calm down. You have to calm down. How do you want exactly to saw? Yes, it's not easy to know what a woman wants. You can't know what a woman wants in a hurry.
Yeah.
You can't. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes listening very, very well. It takes listening in a way where you shut down what you are thinking. And I said, the only thing I want to hear is what is coming out from this girl's soul. Then when you catch it, then now invest your life in that thing. Then she'll be happy. Then go and pray. Then see what will happen. Then see what will happen. You are rushing out of your house to go and do what God has not heard you about. If they had told you this, maybe you would have delayed your marriage. And a woman who does not listen to her husband is not free from demons.
Yeah.
Metaphoric demons, no. Real demons, yes. I'm not saying metaphorically. I'm not trying to use... No, you are not free from demons. Your insubordination to your husband qualifies you for demonic attacks. Yes. If you don't listen to your husband, you will listen to demons. And after a while, you start getting ugly physically. Demons will permeate your flesh. That's why I'm doing this series. That's why I did this series. Because of how important it is. That's the longest series I've done. I've not done that kind of series for money or for other things. Because this one is more important than money. So if your home is in crisis, you are in crisis. If your home is not working, nothing is working.
Yes, sir.
Nothing is working. See it that way. Don't say, my family life is not working, but my career life is working. It's just a matter of time. Your home is the switch that owns every other area of your life. If you put it off, every other thing is coming off. So don't joke with it. Give me my scripture. Are you happy today?
Yes, sir.
Give me my scripture so that I won't be quarrel. All right, somebody read it for me, our First Samuel scripture. All right. Don't lose me. Don't lose me. Eliab's oldest brother heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why do you come here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Because there's something about familiarity. Familiarity has the ability to blind your eye from the anointing somebody carries. So you see, it was the anointing that took David to where he was. But Eliab has never discerned David's anointing. So people judge where you should be in life based on their familiarity with you. Immediately you surpass that thing, they get angry with you. But they don't know that your personality is different from your anointing. You see, you can be gentle, but you're anointed to be a general. And sometimes when you are becoming a general, people are saying, no, we didn't plan you to be a general. Listen, you need to be aware of this. People have a plan of the limit of your life. They have a mental idea of your limit. Immediately you start to break the limit in their mind, they begin to have issues with you. And the funny thing is that the anointing, the grace of God, did not tell them that it has come upon you. Because before you were made, are you together with me? Before you were made in your mother's womb, before you were formed there, I've known you and I've ordained you a prophet. Now, you don't start out to be a prophet. You start out to be a young boy. You start out to be a fearful boy. You start out as an ordinary boy. And people begin to determine your future based on how you started out. But sometimes as you start out very natural, you break into your spiritual identity. When you break into that, a lot of people have not made provision for that you. That was the challenge they had with Jesus. We know him as a carpenter. How come he's now rabbi? And the Bible says they were offended at him. Why? Because his anointing began to work, whereas they were judged him from his childhood. They used his childhood to determine the future, whereas God has determined our future based on his oil that he put on us. And so the Bible says, know ye no man after the flesh. Because if a man gets into Christ, he becomes a new creature. And then you need revelation to now know him. And so he's no more a biochemist. He's not a nurse. He's not a doctor. He's not firstborn. He's not lastborn. He's not gentle jack. It's not Smalley, Okuru Dudu. Hey, you know those nicknames they used to call us? And people think that nickname is who you will be forever. Hey, what about the name you were called before you were born? I don't know if I can preach here.
Yes, sir.
Why do you come here? I came here because of the anointing.
Yes.
The anointing made me come. The anointing made me drop the supply and this make me speak to the soldiers. Because even though they have the uniform, I have the anointing. Yeah. With whom have you left the few sheep in the wilderness? I can do more than handling few ships. That's not all I'll do for life. Are you together with me? So you had better make room for people you have known in the past. They are coming to do great things before your very eye. Before your very eye. There are people sitting on your right and people sitting on your left who will not always sit on your right and sit on your left.
Yeah.
And guess what? Eliab began to speak out of assertion. And the assertion, remove it. And Eliab began to speak out of assertion. Guess what he said? I know your pride. You don't understand. He wasn't saying, I'm suspecting you have pride. He says, I know your pride. If you heard how Eliab describes David, you will have no doubt that David has pride. But the challenge with Eliab is that Eliab cannot understand David manifesting in the anointing. And sometimes when you are manifesting in the anointing, it is called pride. It's not pride. Sometimes calling is that great that it looks like. It's just, I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. This is the man that God knows and rejected. It's not the one saying to another that I know your pride. The one God knows and anointed. Eliab says he's proud and he has insolence of heart. But guess what? David knows he's not proud. Because those, can I preach here? Those who are not flowing in the accurate frequency and in the current frequency of God will always malign those who are. Say, I know your pride. But we all know, thank God we are all reading this. We all know that David's got no pride.
Yes.
No pride. He was just responding to what is upon him. One preacher was speaking to my friend 5-7 years after we started out the ministry.
He said, that guy is doing something serious. And I asked, why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me this person said, he's an older preacher. He said, because 5 years ago, this person came to meet me and said, 6 years ago, and said, that guy is just ambitious. But 6 years after, he said, no, it's not ambition. The guy knows what he's doing. Because when the anointing works, it looks like ambition. No, it's not ambition, it's the oil. It's not ambition, it's the oil. We never wanted to do this until the oil came upon us. And some of you are going to get to seasons of your life where you are not just satisfied until you own a global business. You see, it's not like you want to brag that you own it, but there's something inside you that makes it unright for you not to. I don't know if I'm, it's just unright. It's just unright. You just find it like a sin not to own a global, it's not like you're trying to be like the next, you're not trying to be like the next anything. It's just that the more you pray, you just go for simple morning devotion. That's all they show you. You go for any meeting, that's all they show you. That's just all you want to do. You are not proud. You are anointed. And sometimes the anointing is mistaken for pride. Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
I know your pride and the easiness of the heart, for you have come to see the battle. No, I've not come to see the battle. What kind of ridiculing is this? You do not even count me as someone who can win the battle. The best you could think of me is you are proud and insolent and you just want to spectate.
Hey.
No, I'm not a spectator. I might have allowed you guys go meet Saul. I'm not like I'm not a warrior, but the warrior anointing is upon my life. I didn't come to see the battle. I came to save the day. I came to win the battle. I came to take over. I didn't come to see the battle. I might be a joke to you, but I'm not a joke to God. I didn't come to see the battle. I didn't come here to get a new shirt or a new shoe. I didn't come to see the battle. I came to take over. Says you came to see the battle. And the perception of David was so low that they could not even insult him that he came to try. You don't understand? The insult could not even reach that level. They said he just came to see the battle. No, you didn't come to see the battle. I said you didn't come to see the battle. Did you come to see the battle? I'm asking you, is that what you came to do in life? To see a battle? No, you didn't come to see the battle. The battle is still ongoing because you have not appeared. Now that you have appeared, the battle is over. I came to save the day. I came to deliver my family from generational curse. I came to bring an end to divorce in my home. I didn't just come. I didn't marry because of sex. I came to end the generation of failed homes and failed marriages. I didn't just come for a salary. Oh my goodness. I didn't come to see the battle. I didn't come so that somebody can also call me pastor. No. I came to save my generation. I said I came to save my generation. I came to save my generation. I came to tell my generation that you can fulfill destiny. I came with oil. I came to anoint pastors. I came to anoint prophets. I came to anoint CEOs. I came to raise godly homes. That is why I came. I didn't come so that someone can say I'm the pastor. I didn't come so that I can own the church. I came to change the world. I came to take over. You think I'm a joke? No. I didn't come to see the battle. I came to make sure the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of God and His Christ. I came to take territories for Jesus. I came to tell people who did not think they had a destiny. I came to remind them of their calling. That's why I came. I came to that girl who the mother says she's nothing. I came to tell her that she's a lot of things. I came to anoint Deborah. I came to anoint Jeremiah. I came. That's why I came. I came to put people on their throne.
comes. I came for God to use me to pick men from the dunghill and put them on thrones. That's why I came.
I didn't come for a title, and I didn't come to be respected. I came to destroy the works of the enemy. Jesus Christ said, for this reason, the Son of Man was made manifest to destroy all the works of Satan. This is why I came. Is to raise millions of godly homes. Is to raise powerful local churches all around the world. Is to turn young boys to fire boys. Is to turn young girls to fire girls. Is to raise godly homes that the children born in that home will be grateful they are born in that home. That is why you came. That is why you got married. You didn't get married because of the ring. You came, you got married so that your husband will fulfill destiny. And you will be the reason why he did. You didn't get married so you can flaunt the ring. That's not why. You didn't get married because of sex. You got married so that girl can be all that God has ordained her to be. You got married so that what her father couldn't do for her, now you will do it. That's why you got married. I didn't come to see the battle. I came to win the battle. I came to take over. I came to hand over kingdoms to Jesus. I came to give Jesus territory. He said, oh, that's why I came. That's why I came. I'm for signs and I'm for wonders. Oh, this life is not ordinary. He says, the children you have given to me, they are for signs and for wonders. He says, children are the heritage of the Lord. Oh, Shamakada Basi. Let a godly awareness rise up in your spirit. Let a godly awareness rise up in your spirit. I prophesy over your life. I release a prophetic word over your life. Let divine burdens, let your anointing be stirred. Oh, the Bible speaking about Samson. He always looked for an occasion against the Philistines because he knew why he came. Come into another level of awareness. Come into a deeper level of awareness of your purpose, of your destiny, of your calling. Come into the awareness of the mantle, the grace of God upon your life. You are not a spectator. You didn't come here to just see the battle. You came here to change the narrative. You came here to manifest the will of God. You came here. You came. That's why you came. Oh, Shabayata! Oh, Rekakias!
is more than you. It's more than survival. You came for a generation. You came as deliverer. You came. You came to set the captives free. You didn't come for yourself. You didn't come for yourself. You are not here for yourself. You came for a generation. You are anointed for the deliverance of a generation. Jesus, let the Lord rest upon you. Let the angels put the coals of purpose, the coals of destiny. Let it burn in your soul. Let it burn in your soul. Live for that which is more than you. Live for that which is mother's daily bread. Live for that which will deliver your generation into the will and the purpose of God for her. Come on, be on your feet and lift up your hands to Jesus, the one that has anointed you. Come and let's magnify him, for he has given us a life that is worthy. He has given us a life that is connected to his purpose. Magnify the Lord, magnify the Lord, magnify the Lord. My soul, let's magnify the Lord. And my spirit, praise his name. Paladisa mi kabora. Jesus is Lord. Even in the grave. Jesus is Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit, for the tomorrow, even in the grave, Jesus is Lord. Even in the grave, Jesus is Lord. My soul. Scream, he is Lord.
He is Lord.
He is Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. He has risen
from the dead.
He is
Lord.
He is Lord.
Every knee shall
bow. Every tongue. To this, the anointing upon you does the work of resurrection. God, you are an extension to manifest resurrection life. So when we sing that song, we are singing our purpose, and our soul is magnifying him, and our spirit is praising him, the one who chose us,
the one who did not need to speak to a man for us to qualify. And we say he's Lord. You know what that means? It means your destiny is unstoppable. Your destiny is unstoppable. Why? Because you are proclaiming his lordship. If they couldn't stop Jesus, they can't stop you. Oh my goodness, I say, you cannot be stopped. I release a prophetic utterance this morning. Anyone that tries to stop you, let him be removed. Anyone that tries to stop you, let her be removed. Any devil that tries to stop you, let the fire of God take them out. My soul, my soul, my soul. Kalabashando baya. Aha. You cannot be held captive. Jesus is Lord. Even in the grave. Jesus is Lord. Oh, yeah, scream. He is Lord. Every tongue that Jesus, I want you to do like this. He is Lord. Soldier, Son of Christ, he has risen from the dead. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ. One more time, he is Lord. Reason. He is Lord. Every knee will bow. Will bow. Every tongue. Hallelujah. Every obstacle will bow. Every valley will bow. Nothing is stopping you. I said nothing is stopping you. Even if you fall, you will rise. You didn't come to see the battle. You came to win the battle. The reason the battle remained was because you had not come. Now that you have come, it's over. And Jesus is glorified. Get yourself together. Get your altars together. Your marriage is an altar. Get it together. It must work. And you will see God do wonders through you. The Lord bless you. You're unstoppable. You're unstoppable. You're unstoppable. And you shall appear. That's not your ambition, but you must appear. Because as you carry this Jesus mandate, his glory would lift you up. And the world will see him through you. The Lord bless you. Shalom.